Please turn with me now to Psalm 72. So tonight we'll be looking at this psalm we've just sung a portion of, Psalm 72. Hear now the word of God. Of Solomon. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him, all nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Let us once again bow in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious God and our heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray that you would guide us as we come and we look at this wonderful song, psalm singing the praises of the great King of Kings. May you, Father, inscribe your truth upon our hearts. And we do pray that you would bless my mind and my mouth that I may think and speak clearly this evening. It is in the name of Jesus that we do pray. Amen. Well, as we've been going through the Psalms, we've come here to the end of Book 2 in our Psalter, Psalm 72, and it's really a marvelous psalm. This is a psalm tonight where we get to think upon and meditate upon our great King. And I really can't think of much better else to do than to stop and to think upon the great King Jesus Christ that this psalm points us to and speaks of. As we look at this psalm, we'll be going through it in about 5 points and dividing it into 5 sections and be following an outline that Derek Kidner, one of the commentaries that I use, proposes. But as we look at this psalm, the theme we'll be looking at is really a reminder that God's righteous King rules forever. It's kind of the sum and the theme that we'll be looking at this evening, that God's righteous King rules forever. And the first point we'll be looking at is the king will rule in righteousness. Secondly, the king's reign is endless. Thirdly, the king's reign is boundless. Fourth, the king is compassionate. And lastly, number 5, the blessings of the king. So first of all, the king will rule in righteousness. In verses 1 to 4, we read of Solomon. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. Throughout these verses, we see this these concepts repeated often, righteousness, justice. And we consider righteousness and justice, the righteousness that we have of God in a king judging righteously. These two words can really be used interchangeably in this context. Ruling righteously is, in fact, ruling justly. It's ruling in a way that God would desire and approve, not showing partiality and not deferring to one particular person or group, but just, you know, focused on the truth itself and being equitable and being just, being righteous in your dealings. Well, here the prayer is, may, you know, give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. So it's a prayer that starts out, may this king, God, judge, and may he be just as you are just. May he rule in righteousness as you rule in righteousness. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains bear prosperity for the people, the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. And one of the effects that we see opening up in this psalm of a just and righteous ruler and king is, very briefly, we're shown the prosperity that is given to the land. It's a blessing to the land when its rulers are just and righteous. And as we look at these two verses, and as this psalm is titled of Solomon, some people think, well, it could be, David wrote this for Solomon. But the title itself, if we're going to be consistent, as all the other titles and the same construction and words that are used in the Hebrew, it should be, of Solomon. So this is a psalm that Solomon wrote in pleading for the king and his prosperity. And as we consider Solomon's life, we can see glimpses of this justice and this righteousness in his reign. And as it's recounted for us in showing us the great wisdom of Solomon, that we've got the very familiar account of two women who come before him, one of whom whose baby has passed away, and she's taken the baby of another. And so they come before Solomon, and he gives that decree, okay, cut the baby in half, give half to each. And the real mother, cries out rightly to save her child and is willing to give her up to save her child. In that instance, we see Solomon dealing very wisely and very graciously in a just and righteous way with those that would be on the low end of society, the poor, the outcast. We see that description here. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. And may he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy. But this last phrase there of verse 4, and crush the oppressor, we also find out as Solomon's son, Rehoboam, begins to take his reign and interact with the people of the land, that Solomon did not deal justly and righteously throughout his reign. If you recall, as the older men, the elders, come to Rehoboam as he's taking up his reign, they say to him, your father gave us an incredible burden, tax burden upon us, to the point it was almost an oppressive tax that was laid upon the people. Now, if you recall your biblical history, Rehoboam's response, he listened not to the old wise men of the city, but instead he listened to his young friends, and he said, if you think my father was bad, wait until you see me. And so the kingdom was divided. So we see through Rehoboam taking up that his father was not completely this king of righteousness and justice, this defender of the poor and the oppressed that is spoken of in this psalm. That really drives us then to think, well, who does this psalm speak of? And that was where we're looking at tonight. This psalm ultimately speaks of Christ. And as we consider the king, the anointed one of God, in contrast, we see his equitable treatment, his righteousness, and his justice, and how he deals with us and his people. And notice how he refers to us here. The prayer is, may this king judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. There's a connection, you know, that language there of this is not just some random, you know, poor, oppressed people, but these are your people. These are your children. These are your poor, yours who are oppressed. And that, you know, is the light in which God sees us in Christ. We are His people. We are His poor. And He is a great King that comes to our aid. As we consider this opening section of verses 1 to 4, what I want to leave us with is a reminder that our King rules in righteousness and justice. He is a just King. He is a righteous King. We don't have to worry about His judgments and His pronouncements being swayed towards anything but His truth and who He is and what He has said and the promises that He has made. He rules in justice and righteousness. And in this justice and righteousness, He is ruling to deliver His people. So our King rules in righteousness and justice, delivering His poor. That brings us to the second point of this psalm. In verses 5 to 7. May they fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. The language here in verse 5 and verse 7 of sun and moon, these are pictures of longevity that are used in Scripture. The sun is seen as lasting forever. And that we have good reason for that. Since the beginning of time, the sun is still there. And we expect it to be there tomorrow. Until the Lord returns, God has said, season will happen after season, and it will endure. The moon also, used to determine the seasons, goes around the earth in its constant cycle. And it is there. These are symbols of longevity. And so this language is used then of the reign of this king is painting a picture for us of a long reign, one that endures throughout all generations. And this is, you know, obviously Solomon's reign came to an end. He passed and he died. And then as we see remember the history of Israel through his generation after him, the kingdom was torn in half or apart. And since Jerusalem finally fell, there has not actually been a descendant of David physically sitting on the throne of Israel. It came to an end. Well, this psalm, you know, obviously, again, points to Jesus and the longevity of his reign. The prophecies that we have given to David himself, that a son would come and his throne would be established forever. The prophecies in Isaiah of a child who is born, is called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The government would be put on his shoulders. It would be an everlasting government that would endure for all generations. Jesus, at the end of his earthly ministry in the Gospel of Matthew, says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. These prophecies, various prophecies, point to the fact that Jesus is the eternal Son of God and the King. Now, one interesting effect of this long reign of the king in justice and righteousness is that this king is to be like the rain that falls on mown grass, like showers that water the earth. Recently, my wife posted an article on Facebook that was written by a local Seattleite as the rainy season came back in effect. And it was a wonderful article talking about how, you know, kind of the refreshing time that this is each year for them. You know, we have such a short summer where we have such beautiful weather and beautiful days. This author pointed out, it's almost like we have this burden and this obligation that, okay, we have to be outside. Like, we have got to do something, and we have to cram as much as we can in. But then as the rain comes back in, there's a sense where, okay, we can kind of relax a little bit, kind of get back into our daily routine. That's not exactly what David is talking about here, but that's a part of the picture that's given of the refreshing nature of rain that he is picturing here. It is not just a refreshing rain, but it is a life-giving rain. And this is You know, we're called the Emerald City. This is the Evergreen State. It has this green hue throughout the year, except in the summer when it's very dry. But throughout the year, we have this green hue to us. Even though we've got this overcast cloud, there's life evident through the winter. And there's life around us. And it's through this rain that drops and waters the earth. This king is life-giving. As rain falls upon the meadows, he is life-giving in this way. And that is, I think, the great encouragement that we have in these verses, is that as our king's reign is enduring for all eternity, it will never end, it will never close, it will never be toppled. It's not just a reign of a king, but it is a life-giving reign. It is a life-giving rule of a just and righteous king. So our king, he rules in righteousness and justice forever. And in this rule, we have life as he rules us, as he governs us, as he conquers our sin and wickedness. In his life-giving reign, our king's rule will never end. In point three, the king's reign is boundless. As we move on to verses 8 through 11, we read, "May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him." So you see that in these verses, there's really kind of a building. They're listing all types of nations, all types of kings, all types of areas and land spread out abroad the known world. Until finally in verse 11, it comes in a culmination of, "May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him." His reign is boundless. It has no boundaries in this earth. It covers the entire globe. Now, in one sense, we see this in Solomon's reign. Throughout his reign, Israel experienced an unprecedented unity and prosperity throughout the known world. Then he was seen as as the wisest king, and he was given tribute by nations that were brought under him. So we see this in part, but again, as we are reminded of the history of God's people, that was very short-lived, and even then in the next generation, we see that reign, that peace, was brought to ruin in the foolishness of his son Rehoboam. So again, this psalm doesn't just point to Solomon in his writing it in his day, in his kingdom. Ultimately, it points to Christ. It is fulfilled in Christ. We see this fulfilled in the prophecy of Daniel, how, you know, that rock cut out without human hands, and it comes and it smashes the feet of the statue, and it expands and becomes a mountain encompassing the whole earth. Christ's own prophecies, or not prophecies, but parables of the mustard seed, and how it starts as a small seed but grows into a large tree that all the birds of the air, the nations of the earth, could come and rest in. This section is only fulfilled in Christ. And the comforting truth that we can take from this section is a reminder that our king is currently ruling. He is currently ruling all the earth. And his gospel is conquering all the nations. You know, we go through, we can look out on the earth, we can see wicked things like the Islamic State that seems to be rearing its ugly head and destroying everything in its opposition. But even in that instance, we know that Christ is conquering. And contrasted to a religion that converts and conquers people through the sword, Christ's kingdom conquers people through peace, through the proclamation of the gospel. And this is how his kingdom is advanced. This is how his kingdom is brought forward. And kings of the earth, nations, will bow before our king. So our king currently rules all the earth, and his gospel is conquering all the nations. The fourth point that we'll be looking at tonight, verses 12 to 14, is that our king is compassionate. In verse 12, he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor in him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is the blood, is their blood in his sight. So again, as I referenced, as we have the examples kind of in Solomon's early reign, and then also then later when Rehoboam takes his reign, we see that, yes, there was Solomon was definitely compassionate with the poor and the needy in that instance where he intervened between in that situation with the child, with the baby. But then we also see that he did exact very hard taxes in his reign and bringing oppression upon his people. So, and then when you consider then his progeny after him, we've mentioned Rehoboam, but the whole line of kings as you read through, there were some good kings and just kings, but there were also some very wicked kings who did some very wicked things. However, when you consider Jesus, and there's no question of his compassion and the pity that he has taken on us who are poor in spirit. One of the comforting things in this verse, that last line, precious is the blood in his sight. Just knowing that our Lord and Savior takes notice of what we endure, what we go through, that our very blood is precious to him, as Psalm 116 also says. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This idea of our blood is precious to him, it's the idea of blood being shed, oppression that his people would experience. Our blood is precious in his sight. One of the things that I think is, or a way of maybe illustrate this, is there's a new TV show that has started this series I've started watching called Gotham. And it's a pretty fun show, an interesting show. It takes an interesting take. Batman isn't around yet. It takes place when Bruce Wayne is a young boy. His parents have just been murdered, and Commissioner Gordon is just a young detective, just starting out. But what you see, and they're painting a really good picture of, what would have led to this wealthy boy who's orphaned to one day become and take upon himself the identity of Batman to help a city. And they're painting this picture very clearly, in that Jim Gordon is pretty much the only good cop in Gotham. It is commonplace. Everybody is taking bribes. Everybody is looking after their own back. If somebody's blood is shed, if it's a small child that's just living on the street and their blood is shed, nobody cares. Who cares? It's okay, that's one less problem we have to worry about. In contrast, the king that we have, there is no one who is so small, someone who is so insignificant of his people, that he does not care and notice the precious blood that they have. And that is a great comfort that we have in these verses as we think about our king, is that all of our needs, all of our sufferings, never go unnoticed by our king. His compassion is limitless. It brings us to our fifth and final point this morning, the blessings of our king. In verse 15, long may he live, may gold of Sheba be given to him, may prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land, on the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him, all nations call him blessed. Then blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever and ever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. These verses give us a picture of the blessings of the kingdom of God. Now, we only experience these blessings in part here. There are moments where we have, that peace that defies all comprehension, that joy that is we can't describe, these these blessings and these pictures and these hopes of what is to come. As we bask in the real and the reality of what we have been hoping for, our glorious risen Savior Jesus Christ. Now the kingdom of Solomon, as I said, experienced peace. It was a glorious kingdom. The people of God had been established and they enjoyed real peace during his reign. And as we also know the history of God's people, that peace did not last. But this peace that is experienced here through the just and righteous rule of the King is a peace that lasts forever. It's a prosperity that lasts forever and that will never fade. It's a picture for us of that great day to come when we live for all of eternity in the presence of our glorious King Jesus Christ. In this instance, as the gospel of Jesus Christ is marching forward throughout the world, as he is being known and proclaimed throughout the earth, even if people ridicule him here now in our day and age, we know that his name is known throughout the world. But there will come a day when the whole earth is actually filled with his glory. It will not be in shadow or in type. It will not be through any type of veil. It will be the real and true glory of Jesus Christ. And so with that in view, we get to shout amen and amen along with David here as he closes the psalm. Truly, truly, yes, yes, let this come. In our King, brothers and sisters, and only in our King, are we forever blessed. Now as we bring this message to a close, book two of the Psalter that we have here in the last verse of Psalm 72. This isn't a verse that we'll sing in the coming section, but it is here in Scripture. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And throughout this book, it's not all David's psalms. I mean, here Solomon has written a psalm. It's predominantly David. But what's to really take notice here of is the word, the prayers. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now, as we consider the Psalms, and as we bring this book of the Psalms to a close, you know, these are songs that we sing, and you know, we've set them to music so that we can sing them. We sing them in public worship. We sing them in psalm sings. We sing them in private worship. But we need to also remember that these songs that we have been given are, in fact, also prayers. These are a collection of the prayers of God's people, the prayers of his saints throughout history, the prayers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. And it's right to sing these things and to sing them with joy and gladness. And at the same time, let us keep in mind that as we sing them, we're not simply singing the latest top 40 hit as we drive in the car. These are prayers to God. As we sing them and we take them upon our lips, whenever we sing them, we are praying to our Heavenly Father. So brothers and sisters, as we bring this to a close, let's just remember who we serve as our King. He is the righteous King who rules forever. He rules in righteousness. He rules in justice. His reign will never end. It is a life-giving reign. He has delivered us from the oppression of our enemies and gives us life. He is now currently ruling all the nations and bringing them under subjection to his feet. He notices every need, every suffering of his people. And in him we are forever blessed. So let us praise God, brothers and sisters, that our King rules justly forever. Amen. Our gracious Father, we do thank you for the reign of Jesus Christ, our King. We thank you, Lord, that you rule with justice and righteousness. You, Lord, do not show partiality. You are equitable in your decrees. And we thank you, Lord, for this justice and righteousness. We thank you, Lord, that your reign will never end. It will never be toppled. It will always endure. We thank you, Lord, that you are ruling all nations and conquering all nations through the proclamation of your gospel. We thank you, Lord, that you are a compassionate king. You are not a God that is far off watching from a distance. You are near to your people and you notice our needs and our sufferings. And we thank you, Lord, that in you we are forever blessed. And we look forward to the day when the earth is truly filled with all of your glory. And as Solomon writes, we close and we say, Amen and Amen. Let us turn now to this portion, or the final portion of Psalm 72.